Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden, and this is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We use God's incredible word to provide fuel for your spiritual journey. I'm joined by my friend and co-worker, Roger Schaus. Roger, it's Friday, the Heaven Bound Podcast. It's good to be with you today.
It's great to be here. Last week, as we were introducing our first podcast on this avenue of three that we do every week, we were talking about this phrase, heaven bound, and the idea that we're on a journey and we have a destination. And the concept that we introduced last week was the idea of a dashboard. As you think about getting in your car and taking a trip, you look at the instruments of your car. And the three main gauges that you want to be looking at is your fuel gauge, your temperature gauge, and your speed or your speedometer. The fuel gauge involves your input, and that's what we focused on last week, having the right fuel to reach our destination, making sure we're going the right direction. The speed is the output, and you can have a car full of gas, but if you're not moving, you're not going. And then the third aspect is the temperature gauge. That is the internal part. And that's what we want to kind of stretch out and kind of talk about a little bit this day as we think about the idea of making our destination of being heaven bound. You know, when you're driving in a car and your car makes a funny noise, the first thing you do is you look down at your dashboard. You check your speedometer. You look at your fuel gauge. You look at your temperature gauge. Now, they may not tell you what's going on with your car, but they give you some quick, immediate things to look at. And in that same avenue, God's Word does the same thing for us. Now, we look at our lives, and things aren't going the way they should go. We look at our input. We look at our output. We look at the internal workings of our heart, and we see some things that's going on there. And so today, we want to talk about this idea of temperature. The internal part of us, the idea of Christ living within us. As Paul would say in Galatians chapter 2, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And how that internal temperature makes all the difference as we're walking with Jesus.
Roger, we've talked a lot in recent months about how our hearts are kind of like the engine for this journey on the way to heaven. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We look to the inward man, and that is really the real person. We've got all of these reminders in the Bible that man doesn't see like God sees, God doesn't see as we see. So often we get caught up on what's on the outside, the literal car that someone is driving, the physical house that someone lives in. But Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, takes his followers past the outside to the inside. On the outside, you might have a Ferrari as far as your outward appearance and your outward reputation is concerned. In Matthew 23, he takes us to the gauges of the heart.
And there he says in verse 25, he says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence." The contrast between the inside and the outside. The Pharisees made sure the outside looked good. They were concerned about appearance. What does everyone think about me? But the inside was polluted and corrupt. Just a few verses later on, Jesus would use another analogy, and there he'd talk about the cemetery and how the Pharisees were like whitewashed tombs on the outside. They looked beautiful on the outside, but under the ground where the bodies were buried, they were rotting. And that described this internal, external difference in their life. Their walk and their talk didn't match.
We've got a great example of the two different sorts of hearts in Luke chapter 15. We've got the penitent son who comes home, was once living like the prodigal, was once far away from home. And of course, he had had his own heart issues that had taken him away from his father's house. He comes to himself. He checks his heart. He comes home with the right sort of attitude, ready to be emptied in order that he might simply be welcomed back by his father. On the other side of the family tree, you've got the older brother who, from all outward appearances, things have been great, right? He has stayed at home. He has worked hard. He has been out in the fields. And if a bystander was there when the dirty prodigal had come home and the hardworking older brother were right there beside the father, and you asked the bystander, well, which one of these has the right sort of heart? It might have been really easy to point at the older brother. But Jesus has a way of drawing our attention to the gauges of the heart. That older brother's heart, even though he had stayed at home with the father, wasn't what it ought to be.
You know, and living where we do here in southern Indiana, we understand this so well this time of year. If you leave your car outside and you get out there in the morning, the temperature gauge says your car is very cold, and it is. And then the other extreme is if you've got some problems with your car, the temperature gauge can say your car is too hot. And unless you pull over and do something, you're going to have serious engine trouble. And much like the human heart, as we think about this spiritually, some of us run cold, some of us run too hot. And so what we're trying to see in this lesson here is the internal part of your heart, the spiritual insides, is more important than really the outsides. So it's easy for me to sit in the church building Sunday morning and tell myself I'm better than my neighbor who's still in bed. But do I worship God or do I just sit there? I can say, well, look, I've put on a suit and a tie. I've put on nice clothes today. I am better than other people. But where's my heart? Am I judgmental? Am I unforgiving? Am I someone who has prejudice or hatred in my heart? All of those are reflections of the inside. Looking good on the outside, but being terrible on the inside is not the way God wants us to be.
There's that classic example in Revelation chapter 3 of some saints who thought everything was okay because of what they had and who they were. They lived in Laodicea. And Jesus, as he communicates through John to that church toward the end of Revelation 3, says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, they had become a whole lot like the world around them. The temperature wasn't what it needed to be. He said, you say, I am rich, I've prospered, and I have need of nothing, not realizing. Again, on the outside, it might be a convertible, it might be shiny, it might have fancy wheels, it might be polished and look great. But on the inside, if we take Jesus' words and apply them to the engine, you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked. We might say that this engine is broken down. It's full of gunk. It's clicking and clacking. It's not going to go anywhere.
And it's that inside that really makes the difference. In the book of Galatians in chapter 5, after listing the works of the flesh, the Apostle Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit. And there he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. All of those things are manifested in the way we treat God and in the way we treat others. And so, again, outwardly, I can be someone who looks like a great Christian, carry that Bible and just do all those things. But inwardly, my spirit, my heart, am I standing in the shadow of the elder brother in Luke 15? Am I standing alongside of Jonah, someone who is unforgiving? or do I have the heart like Jesus?
So, Roger, when you think of someone, we've got the idea in our minds, that temperature gauge shows us what's going on inside of the engine. When you think of someone whose temperature gauge is running too hot, what are some practical ways of thinking of that? What might we be able to spot based on the fruits, what's coming out on the end or coming out in the life of this person? What's a sign of running too hot on that gauge?
Well, first of all, there's a difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. The thermometer tells you the temperature, but that's all it does. The thermostat is what controls the temperature. In all of our cars, we have a thermostat, and that's what keeps the engine running at the right temperature. When your thermostat is not right, your car is going to run too hot, and you're going to get in trouble. So some of the manifestations of a spirit of somebody who's just running hot is someone who gets angry a lot. Just the littlest thing upsets him. He's always blowing his stack. He's always chewing out the person at the restaurant because the service was slow. He's always someone who has trouble when he drives his car because he has road rage. Here's someone who's always screaming at the kids, always hollering at his mate. Here's someone who's just not able to be under control. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth. You never know what attitude he's going to be in or what mood he's going to be in simply because he runs too hot.
Proverbs 15, verse 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention.
It's also interesting within the Proverbs, it tells us not to associate with someone given to anger lest we learn his ways. And so sometimes the environment we're in, the people we call friends, the shows we watch on TV, they all have an impact upon our hearts. They can control that temperature and make us run hot when we really shouldn't be.
You bring up this idea of a thermostat. What makes a thermostat work is not being reactive, right? Have you ever been around a person, I won't name any names, but you ever been around a person who is constantly pushing the thermostat? You know, it feels a little too hot, and so I'm going to bump it down a little. I want it immediately to be colder, and then 15 minutes later, it feels a little too cold, and so I'm going to bump it back up to make it hotter. That's just reacting to what's going on around me. That really defeats the purpose of that thermostat. That the hot-tempered man so often is just reacting. Someone else is being ugly, so I'm going to be ugly to them. Someone has cut me off in traffic, and so I'm going to put myself and the lives of other people in danger to try and get up in front of that person just so that I can cut them off. That's reacting, and disciples of Jesus don't have just this reactive thermometer that matches what's going on around me. That's a recipe for being lukewarm.
And when Peter was writing about the virtues, we call that, in 2 Peter chapter 1, among that list of things we were to add to our faith and knowledge, one of the things he lists there is self-control, the control of self. The thermostat set by Jesus. So when people are pushing my button and people are trying to get me to be angry, I learn how to handle those situations. Maybe it's walking away from it. Maybe it's saying a prayer. Maybe it's just thinking things through before I speak. As James says, being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. All of those things help us to have the right temperature that God wants us to have.
So that's one end of the spectrum, running too hot. What about the other end of the spectrum? If a disciple of Jesus is running too cold, where might those indications come into play?
And again, we could find this back in the book of Revelation, where one of the churches was described as being dead. And the idea of dead is lifeless. I go to church, but it does nothing for me. I sit there and I bow my head, but my mind's 10,000 miles away. I daydream. I'm playing with my phone. I sit there and convince myself that I'm doing right because I'm there, but I'm really not there. I'm cold. I'm indifferent to the needs around me. I'm indifferent to the needs of my family. I'm indifferent to the needs within the, among the brethren. And it's just a lifeless indifference that makes one cold. And again, it's just going to be just the opposite of someone who's running too hot. The person's running too hot needs to calm down and cool down just a little bit. The run who's going too cold, he needs to warm up a little bit. And he does this by walking through the Gospels with Jesus. There's that compassionate Jesus. There's the Jesus who tells a story of the Good Samaritan. There's a Jesus who tells us about his healing of other people and doing things for other people, going out of his way to places like Samaria, going and helping Gentile people like the Syrophoenician woman. There is the loving Jesus whose heart was open for all people. And when we start spending some time with Jesus, so we start looking at these examples, it reminds me as I look in the mirror, well, what about me? Every Sunday, these announcements are given at church. Do I pay attention, or am I getting my coats on and wrapping things up? When they say, here's somebody that needs some help, do I pay attention to those things? Am I in a position where I can help other people, even if it's saying prayers and going out of my way to put them in my heart?
So one end of the spectrum, running too hot. Other end of the spectrum, running too cold. We don't want to be that hot-tempered, reactive person. We don't want to be the person whose love and compassion and zeal has grown cold. So let's, before we're done, spend a few moments looking at the middle, the healthy, Christ-like middle. How do I know when my temperature is right with God?
You know, literally, as we talk about this dashboard, it's easy to see that in our cars. We just sit in our car, start it up, and we look at that little temperature needle, and it goes right to the middle and stops. Be wonderful if we just had that on the outside of our shirts. It would just help us so much. But the Bible gives us some points. The Bible gives us some guidelines that when we see these things, it will help us know how we're supposed to be. Principles such as kindness, principles such as gentleness, principles such as compassion, principles such as forgiving. Those all help us to see whether I have the right temperature or not. Am I always thinking about myself? Am I always talking about myself? Is it all me? Am I the center of the universe? Or do I think about other people? That's one gauge I can look at. And again, throughout scriptures, we find examples out of examples, both positive and negative, of people who were not having the right spirit or did have the right spirit toward other people.
That temperature gauge, you wanted in your car to rise to the middle and stay right there. You don't want it to move. It's not like that fuel gauge that is slowly creeping down toward empty. You get in your car even on a cool morning, and it gets to right around the middle, and it just stays there. That makes me think of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The only way that that's going to happen in the life of a disciple is the heart gets set, the mind gets set. You can't set a thermometer. The thermometer is simply going to react to whatever the surrounding temperature and environment is. You set a thermostat. And if you let that thermostat do what it was created to do, it's going to adjust, depending on what's going on around it, to remain at a constant temperature. Jesus is the standard. We set our heart to follow his example, to look at people the way he did. Jesus is our king. We set our minds on things above where he is. And that allows this gauge in our hearts not just to be reactive, but to be constant, set on pace with Jesus.
You know, we remember back in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that Daniel made up his mind ahead of time not to eat the king's choice food. So a lot of that is just practical things that help us. You leave your house in the morning and you make your mind up, no matter what happens at work today, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. I don't care what they throw on my desk. I don't care how they treat me. I don't care how gossipy they are. I'm not going to engage in those things because my heart is set upon the cross of Jesus, and that's where it's going to stay.
Roger, I appreciate you thinking through this such a practical way of looking at life. We've been very deliberate from the beginning of this podcast. It's not hard to understand. It's a matter of getting our minds set where they need to be. Heaven is our destination. If we're going to get there, it's going to involve a journey. There's going to be some high highs and some low lows. There's going to be some times where it seems like we're coasting downhill. There's going to be times where it seems like we're on a long, flat stretch and we've got the cruise control set and our hands are on the steering wheel and things are just the way they're supposed to be. But sometimes it's going to feel like we're driving uphill. And maybe as you listen to this podcast this morning, you feel like you're heading uphill. Maybe it's late at night and you feel like all day long you've just been slogging uphill. And it's really easy to allow that temperature gauge of your heart to trend in one way or another, way too hot where you're just reacting to what's going on around you, or way too cold and you're allowing your heart to become desensitized to the fuel, the good God-given fuel that can help you truly be heaven-bound. We hope that by thinking through the life of discipleship in these very practical terms, you can wrap your mind around it, you can see what God wants you to be, and you can realize just how much help is available in His Word and from His people. Roger, any closing thoughts?
Next week, as we continue our dashboard journey here, we've talked about the fuel, which is the input. Today, we've talked about the temperature, which is the internal. So, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the speedometer, the output. Once I become a disciple of Jesus, what does that mean? And we'll kind of share some things with you then.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast. If you have not yet subscribed, we would love to have you subscribe on any number of platforms where podcasts are readily available. If you found this episode helpful, we would love it if you would share it with friends, family, whomever you think would benefit. Most of all, we hope that it has helped you set your mind, set that gauge of your heart on things above. Thanks for spending some time with us. And always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.